It's the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network, as always. Holden Kushner with you. We're going to talk a lot of Nuggets. I got a couple of Rockies bets, but I don't think there's any time to screw around with this. Mark Springer is going to join us from Altitude 92.5, but we got to talk about last night with the Nuggets. Before we do that, they are 5-point favorites in game number 5, which is coming up tomorrow. And that, to me, says that the books think the Joker will not get suspended for, I guess, what, forearm to the chest of the Suns' new owner, Matt Ishbia. Ishbia. You know what? Let's not even pronounce his name properly after the garbage he had last night. Anyways, I'll get to the game and the updated series odds. But first, I mean, they better not suspend Joker for a game. They better not. You don't suspend the best player in the game for a tiny shove after a quote-unquote fan, who just happens to be the owner, put his hands on him. There were multiple people in the stands that are barking at him. They're touching him. You got the meathead that was pushing him. You got Ishbia, who put his hand on Joker's hip. It's an absolute joke. And the series should not be tilted toward the Suns because of that melee. It's not a big deal if the Suns owner doesn't flop. As a matter of fact, the flop escalated things. And then Ishbia on Twitter, I'm going to literally call him 20 different names, because he doesn't deserve the respect. Great win for the Suns last night. Amazing series so far. He goes, that should be and is the only story. Suspending or fining anyone over last night's incident would not be right. I have a lot of respect for Jokic, and I don't want to see anything like that. Excited for game 5. Go Suns. If anything, they should suspend him. Ishbia. He put his hand on Joker first. Why not give the ball back too? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, you can't find a basketball yourself? You own the freaking team. You're just trying to play keep away from Joker? Why? Why are you doing that? That's not owner-like behavior. Hopefully, a couple of the owners will get together and chew his ass out for that. Anyways, that's one side of the story. And Joker is correct. After the game, he said, isn't the NBA supposed to protect players from fans? Where were the refs? Where was security? That's the question I keep getting from fans and friends. And I think the answer to that question is one of the refs came over as quickly as they could. One of the security guards had no desire to get in the middle of that. None whatsoever. But is the NBA supposed to protect players? Yes. Are they supposed to protect players from team owners? You never think that's supposed to happen. The NBA is not going to suspend an owner, but Ishbia should have given the ball up. When the players are playing, the owners need to defer to the players. You own the team. You don't own the game that is going on in between the lines. But Joker did need to walk away last night. And he deserved the technical. He truly did. Because he made contact with a fan who was the Suns owner. And the Suns owner actually instigated it. But why bother battling for the ball? And he was right to go for the ball, but why bother? Why even bother? 2 years ago, the Joker was ejected from game 4 against the Suns. He took a swipe at campaign. Last year, Jokic goes after Jordan Poole after a timeout, and Draymond Green had to come over and settle Jokic down. Now, the Nuggets can still win this series without Jokic for a game, but his actions last night don't warrant a catastrophic suspension. And I'm not saying catastrophic 2 or 3 games. I'm saying 1 game could be catastrophic. We see teams all the time, and I've said this at the beginning of the series, and I'm saying it right now, and I said it as this series headed back to Phoenix. Teams can lose a star player and still go out and win. No Chris Paul. Suns still managed to win these games. Now, Chris Paul is not as important to the Suns as Jokic is to the Nuggets, and I still don't think he gets suspended, and I say that because the line has not moved. The books know a lot, and if they thought that this would be a suspension, then it wouldn't be 5. If they really thought that there was going to be a suspension, this wouldn't be baked. That would be baked in, and it'd probably be about a three-point spread. That's not where it is right now. Now, if they do suspend Jokic, Ishbia needs to be banned for the rest of the series, as any other fan would be. He made physical contact, and he was definitely part of the reason for the skirmish. So that's that. You do not suspend the Joker, and if they do, Adam Silver and the league deserve to just be completely run through the ringer. You cannot do this. It doesn't warrant it because of the actions. And if you want to send a message, go after the owner, not the player. They gave him a technical. So he didn't get suspended for the game. He shouldn't have gotten suspended for the game. But by the book, he should have been suspended because he went into the stands. This was not a Malice at the Palace situation. You know, he went in there. He got pushed. Owner puts his hand on him, tries to get the ball back. And that's that. Now, from the Sun side, they're saying, well, Ishbia was just trying to protect this player who fell in his lap. But there's a lot more to the story, as you saw. All right, so let's go to last night. And we'll talk about moving forward, too. Joker, 53-11-4. Hollow stats. They're all hollow stats, man. That was not hollow. That was a guy carrying a team on his back. And they're not going to win games if he has to score 53. It's not. It wasn't enough. He had only four assists because nobody else could score with the exception of Murray, who was not efficient whatsoever. But Denver drops the game 129-124. They don't cover the plus one. And the supporting cast was absolutely awful outside of Jamal Murray, who wasn't great, but at least he put up points. The bench was minus 37. They were outscored by 37 points when you had members of the bench on the court. That is something that they did not suffer here in Denver. That is not something that they suffered in game number three. Last night was about as bad as the bench could have been. That was regular season stuff. The defense, absolutely non-existent. Landry Shamet and Jock Landale did exactly what we expected out of the Nuggets bench. You thought somebody could come off the bench, hit a couple threes, play some defense. No, that's not what we saw at all. Last night reminded me of some bad loss on a road to like the Rockets, where they didn't play defense and their bench didn't show up. Last night was just 2v2. Two versus two. Durant and Booker versus Jokic and Murray. And you were waiting for a third guy to step up over here, and it didn't happen. It was Landry Shamet. Think about that for a minute. When was the last time somebody came off the Nuggets bench and won a game for them? Was the deciding factor. Because, again, Devin Booker is on another level. They're saying he's the greatest son ever, and that includes Charles Barkley. They've got themselves some Kevin Durant, but Shamet was the difference. Amazing. So Joker, think about this, what he means to this team. We know what he means to this team. He scored or assisted on 78 points last night. 78 out of the 124. That is the most in a playoff game by a center in NBA history, and they cannot continue to rely on that. You just can't every single game. 53 points. We don't want to see 53. You want to get 33, Joker? Fine. 33, 15, get those assists up there. 9, 10. Other guys have to step up. Time to put those two games at Phoenix, though, behind them. And the Nuggets return home for game 5. They had the best regular season record at home at 32-9. They should be favorites in this game. 5-point favorites, absolutely. Minus 205 on the money line. Totals 228.5 on Bet Rivers. Tough to cap this game since we don't officially know if Jokic is playing or not. I will not place a bet on this game until I know. If he plays, I actually lean toward the Nuggets at minus 5. I do wonder if this thing pushes up to 5.5 or 6 once we know 100% that Joker's playing. But the Nuggets are just a dominant team at home, and I don't see him losing this series still. This is what happens in the NBA. Home court advantage is more important in the NBA than any other sport. Home field advantage in the NFL, really big, really big. Baseball, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Hockey, definitely doesn't matter. NBA, look, Suns team playing without their point guard beats the Nuggets 2 games. Again, if Joker's in, I lean toward the Nuggets at minus 5. If the Nuggets do have Joker, I'd bet their team total up over 114.5. Now, Thursday? I said, go bet over 110.5. And they crashed that. They beat it up. They went well over 110.5. This number is 4 points higher than what we saw in the third game of the series. Okay, so this thing has been bumped up, but they're coming home. And while I expect the defense to be better, I also expect the ancillary players to be better. Bruce Brown. I don't know if Christian Brown's going to play that much. It looked like last night, Michael Malone didn't trust him. Bruce Brown, Jeff Green's going to have to give him more, but this bench is going to give him more. I truly believe that. So I'd bet their team total up over 114.5. I have not seen it posted yet on Bet Rivers, but again, that's the play that I would make, a team total more than anything else. I've told you a million times, I bet the NBA live. So as far as a pregame bet goes, it'd be a half a unit on the five. And then as far as the series goes, Nuggets minus 162, Suns plus 135. I'm not laying 162 for the Nuggets, but that would be the way to go if you ended up betting that juice, because they're going to win two out of these three games. I feel extremely confident in that. So again, I'm back in the Nuggets, minus 5, half unit, once I know about Joker. And then in game, if I can get him at even, you know what, even minus 2.5, I'll take that. Next up on the Nuggets talk, how about Charles Barkley? He says the Nuggets are the favorites to win it all. Are they? Because the odds suggest otherwise. When the Nuggets play defense, their bench gives them plus minutes. Joker and Murray don't have to carry the offense all by themselves. Yeah, this team could be the best in the NBA. The two games in Phoenix, they look like pretenders, though. The teams in the East, like Boston, Miami, and specifically Boston and Philly, those teams actually play defense, and they play it consistently every single night. None of them have the offensive firepower to match the Nuggets, though. But we saw all the weaknesses again last night from Denver. Now, Boston or Philly would be and should be slightly favored if they meet Denver in the finals. And actually, I think the only team that'll be favored over the Nuggets would be the Celtics. The Nuggets' biggest foe in the West is themselves. They're better than Phoenix, especially without Chris Paul. They're better than the Warriors. They rebuilt this team in the offseason, bringing in KCP and Bruce Brown so they could beat the Warriors. And I truly believe in a 7-game series, the Nuggets win. Now, as far as the Lakers go, that might be value for a future, because the Lakers look pretty darn good. But if you give me the Nuggets at plus 430 and the Lakers at plus 500 to win it, I think you could bet both personally and just hope that one of the two teams gets through and you're sitting on a nice ticket there. But Boston's at plus 150. The Nuggets and the Lakers are kind of on an even plane right now. The Lakers just decided to show up for the playoffs. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. AD protects the rim. AD versus Joker, what a matchup that could be. Wow. And I'd be a little concerned about that series against LA, but I think they could beat LA too. Because if A, home court advantage, B, they'd still have the best player on the floor. With all due respect to LeBron and AD, Joker's still the best. But there would be so much responsibility on the bench. And this, even this series, so much responsibility on the bench to perform, so much responsibility on the other guys to perform. And I think Jamal Murray has to be more efficient, especially on the road. But they can beat anybody. Denver can beat anybody when they get the offensive help. So there's a lot of ifs there, though. So the Celtics, again, favorites plus 150, Nuggets plus 430, Lakers plus 500. The good news, though, is that the Nuggets are the best team in the league. When they play at home, they'll have home court advantage. Let's make sure Joker's on the floor in game five. Let's get the Nuggets up 3-2. And if that happens, they win in 6 or 7. Winner on Friday night wins the series. Truly believe that. Let's talk some baseball. What? Baseball? Rockies? Yeah, we're going to talk Rockies and Pirates. I know. You're like, gross. Pittsburgh came out here, destroyed the Rockies, but the Rockies have started to show some life. They have won 6 of 7 games. They're scoring runs on the road. And then you got the Pirates, who lead the NL Central at 20-15. 20-15, a half game ahead of the Brewers, but they've lost 7 straight games with 2 or fewer runs scored in all those 7 games. Their offense is dead right now, completely Dunsky, and they're going up against Kyle Freeland, who's been excellent this season. Again, nobody gives Kyle Freeland the credit. Dude pitches in cores. He's got a 3.76 ERA. And yes, There are sexier advanced numbers to look at, but it just tells you Freeland's a good starting pitcher, above league average. Now, if you look at the bigger picture, the Rockies have struggled away from home. They've lost 65 and 94. But go look at the last 10 games away from Coors Field. They're competitive, and they're scoring 4.3 runs per game. I actually bet their team total under two times, and then I had to say forget about it anymore. It's not an auto bet. This was an auto bet last year. Auto bet at under 3.5, and we bet it at under 2.5, depending on the pitching matchup, too. They have not won those bets for us now. They're starting to score on the road. It's absolutely fascinating. Now, something else to discuss. Pirates starting pitcher Mitch Keller. He's allowed 2 earned runs in 5 of his last 6 starts. 2 earned runs. Just 2. He's pitching magnificently. And we'll get more into him in just a moment. But back to the Rockies. The bullpen has been really good lately. In the 3-game series in New York, they took 2 of 3 from the Mets. You've got guys like Justin Lawrence, Brent Suter, and Jake Bird allowing just a run over 13 and a third innings at Citi Field in New York. So outside of a couple of arms that just have been blown up, the other guys have been performing pretty well out of the bullpen. And then we've been waiting for Ezekiel Tovar, the young shortstop, to bust out. He didn't look like he was ready for the bigs at the beginning of the year. Now, 8 hits, 3 doubles, 17 total bases over the last 6 games. He's hit 2 home runs. He's got 7 RBIs, so at least that bat's waking up, Chris Bryant's waking up, and they're starting to hit. Are they a good team? Absolutely not. Are they an average team at home? Absolutely. This will be interesting. So I'm looking at these lines here. Looking at these lines on Bet Rivers, and the Rockies are plus 155. It was actually plus 150 about an hour before I started taping. Total's 8.5. So it dipped down to 8. Now, when it got down to 8, the money's coming in on the over. Interesting. You could also get the Rockies plus a run and a half on the run line minus 148. So here, pros, the sharp, quote-unquote sharp money is buying Pittsburgh and the Pirates to beat the Rockies. Again, minus 180. So this thing got steamed up from minus 155 all the way to minus 180. They're getting almost 70% of the bets and over 80% of the money. Big discrepancy. So again, money dropped the total from 8.5 down to 8, and then the money comes in to push this thing back to 8.5. You can still find an 8.5 minus 121. So again, this line's moving all over the place. Big money coming in on Pittsburgh. Big money coming in on the under. Now, some bigger money coming in on Pittsburgh and some bigger money coming in on the over. It's vacillating. So, who do the Rockies face tonight? Mitch Keller. He's a bad dude. He's got 18 Ks over his last 2 starts. He was facing the Rays and the Dodgers. This is no joke. This dude's no joke. Interesting with the ballpark factor, though. Pittsburgh used to be a place where fly balls went to die. It's actually a league average park now. And Keller has a 13% swinging strike rate over his last couple of starts. Rockies, 5th most strikeouts per game in the road, 9.63. So here's my best bets for the Rockies-Pirates game. Let's bang the Mitch Keller K prop over 5.5 at minus 124. Over 5.5, minus 124. The Rockies, who have, listen, again, they strike out on the road a ton. 9.63 times. So over that. And if you want a same game parlay, go under the 8.5, pair that with the Mitch Keller K's, you get it at plus 163. So again, my official play will be Mitch Keller over 5.5 minus 124. But if you like same game parlays, under 8.5, over 5.5 K's, plus 163. Not a bad bet to put together. Okay. I would like to get to Mark Springer and get his thoughts on the Nikola Jokic situation last night, on the Nuggets situation right now, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of time to address the Avalanche, but so much going on with the Nuggets, I'm not sure we'll have time to do that. Well, here he is, first time since the Avs got bounced, Mark Springer, Altitude 92.5. We're not going to talk about the Avs first, though. My friend, first of all, how the hell are you? Second of all, That was a great basketball game last night with a bizarre incident and a series that is now absolutely riveting. How are you, my friend? And how crazy was last night?
Oh, buddy, I really would have appreciated a Nuggets win last night. That would have been great for the old pocketbook. But you know what? It just was not meant to be. You know, I going into it, I felt pretty good because, you know, the Suns were 4-point favorites in game three. And I was like, okay, that's a little higher than I was expecting. Maybe there's something going on here. Maybe the Suns will make the adjustments necessary back on their home floor. And I guess they did. But really, Devin Booker just went off in game three, and then some role players made some shots. And then last night's game moved. The line just kept moving. It opened at 3.5, so already lower than game three. Moved essentially to a pick 'em. And I'm just thinking, all right, now it's the Nuggets' turn to make the adjustments. They saw what the Suns did. The bettors are on the Nuggets. The money is moving in their favor. This is a pick 'em for a team that just lost in that same building. Things were looking okay. And then, as you alluded to, that weird, weird Matt Ishbia sequence. Just that alone, Holden, this man doesn't understand basketball. He doesn't understand how to sit courtside. Has he ever sit courtside in his life? Has he seen other people? What happens when the ball goes into the fan area, into the stands, I suppose? Does he know the etiquette? Because he kept that ball like it was his, like it was his precious. And Jokic is a fast break player. He's a guy who tries to get an advantage, and he just wants the ball. And this fan, I'm just going to call him a fan, won't let go of the ball. And whatever happens after that is on you, buddy. There was a lot of reasons why the Nuggets lost that game, but that sequence in particular cost them a point, a crucial point that they could have used late, would have been the difference, would have made it a two-point game late. Nuggets would have only needed a two to tie. So that was just a weird sequence, man. It goes to show, the longer you do this, the more games you watch, you think you've seen it all. And then there will always be something that you've never seen before. And we saw that last night.
Yeah. And you're like half my age. So just wait. Just wait, buddy. You'll see a lot crazier stuff than this coming up. Here's my concern, first of all, that Joker shouldn't even have been there. I know he's a competitor. He shouldn't have been there. He was ejected from a game, a couple of years ago? Last year, he had to be held back by Draymond Green. And Green already has a reputation. My big concern is that Jokic is going to get a reputation now. We don't want him suspended. I could see the league suspending him, though. Going in there, I know it was BS, elbowing Ishbia. I mean, come on, man. He just bought the team. He went to Michigan State. Ishbia knows what's going on, knows basketball. But I'm afraid they're going to suspend him. And that's why I can't even make a bet yet.
I don't think you can suspend him. The look would be terrible. I mean, Matt Ishbia already tweeted. I think he's trying to save face a little bit. Like, hey, nobody deserves to be suspended, because he knows that if Jokic gets suspended, it really is on his hands. Because, okay, look, you're not wrong. People aren't wrong if they say that Jokic shouldn't have gone over and tried to get that ball. That's the ref's job. That's, you know, whatever game official's job to go over and get that ball and settle things down, because a Sun player also did go toppling into the crowd. But that's part of the reason Jokic wanted the ball, is because there was a Sun player down. Let's take this man advantage real quick. But the problem is that every other fan, any other instance where I've seen anything similar to this, the fan realizes they go one of these, hands up. If the ball's in their hands, hands up. They release the ball real quick because they know that's not their ball. I have never seen a fan cradle, tuck the ball closer to them. That is a massive problem. That is, I don't even know what that is. So if you're to suspend Jokic, then how do you not punish Matt Ishbia as well? Because any fan that pulled that last night gets ejected for that motion. And by the way, Matt Ishbia puts his hands on Jokic's hip just before Jokic pushes him. So Jokic probably feels the little touch of a fan. He doesn't know that that's Matt Ishbia on him. And the second that a player feels a hand on him from a fan, they're going to push him off. That's just how it goes. You saw Pete Davidson at Madison Square Garden at a Knicks game recently. If you're putting your hands on him, boom, get the hell off me. I know it's a little bit different, but the same principle applies. It is a slippery slope if they suspend Jokic. I think the league will be smart, and I expect they'll just kind of forget about this. They'll just brush this under the rug, even though the correct avenue is to punish Ishbia as if he were a fan. They won't do that, though, because he's a brand new owner. He's any owner, really, worth that much money.
I think that the league could suspend him. I think the league absolutely could suspend him, or at least keep him out of game six from coming to Denver. Like, he shouldn't be in the game. He did put his hand on the Joker, and I've never seen another owner do that. So if Jokic gets suspended, Ishbia can't come here. Like, you can't allow him in here. And then if he doesn't get suspended, they got to find Ishbia on camera so everybody can give him a big flip off. You know, just give him the middle finger.
Now we know what he looks like. I really had no idea what that dude looked like. I did not know that was him until the commentator started talking about it last night. So, and of course, Jokic has no idea. He doesn't care about winning MVP. He gives two bleeps who the Suns owner is. He has no idea.
Yeah. And even Michael Malone said, I don't care who it is. You got to treat him like a fan. If the NBA is going to suspend Joker, you got to suspend the owner. It's as simple as that. An owner should not be immune to a suspension. And I know that owners don't want other owners to do that, but that'd be the only fair thing. And I don't think either. Actually, I can make a case for Joker being suspended. I just hope it doesn't happen. I just hope it doesn't happen. And the other thing is, like, when the Joker came over, who was it? Was it Shamet that ended up falling into Ishbia's lap? Like, that's the whole thing. There was a player that went down there, and that's why Jokic came over anyways. It was a complete debacle. Let's just hopefully the NBA just looks past this. That's what I'm hoping. Let's just move past this. Don't do it again.
I mean, right now that's all that they can do, because really suspending Ishbia does nothing. He's not a player. It doesn't give the Suns any disadvantage. It doesn't give the Nuggets an advantage. There's no reason. The only harm that can be done by this is suspending Jokic, and that would be completely unjustified. So, unfortunately, it is what it is. It was just one of those bizarre incidents. I guess the ball was just destined to bounce to that chucklehead, and for Jokic to expose him for not understanding what to do in a moment like that. It's like a fire drill. Your instincts kick in. You either know what to do or you don't know what to do. And Matt Ishbia's instincts were to clutch the ball like he's at a baseball game. And I got the foul ball from who's an Arizona Diamondback? Ketel Marte. I got this valuable foul ball. This is mine. No, you dumb. This is a basketball game. The ball returns to play.
I'll tell you this much, that meathead that ended up pushing Jokic was very lucky. Now, I think Jokic had very good self-restraint, because if somebody pushes me from the crowd and I'm as big as Jokic, I'm taking a swing. I got to pop that dude in the face. I know he was big, but he had no idea who he was messing with. He was messing with a guy that could kill a moose with his own hands, you know? So the guy that ended up pushing him, a complete jackass, and he should be banned for the rest of the playoffs. Like, he should not even be allowed in an arena for the rest of the year.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, no, and Holden, it's all avoided if Matt Ishbia does the normal human thing and just drops the ball when the guy in the jersey wants the ball. Like, what if the ref came over and tried to get the ball and Ishbia pulled that? What does the ref do? Do you tee up the Suns? You know,
This will be a bad look on Adam Silver in the league if the best player in the league is not allowed to play for a game in this series. And I think it's as simple as that. And I think Adam Silver has to realize that, like, okay, we could suspend this guy, but why are we taking our best player in the league and then keeping him out of a game?
Dude, they shouldn't have even teed him up. That was an embarrassment.
Well, you got to tee him up because he went into the stands. You know, if he stays on the court and this happens, okay. But by the nature of the rule, he gets teed up.
Okay.
So I didn't like it, but that's the nature of the rule.
I'll concede that to you in the respect that in an NBA, in a professional basketball environment, you just have to account for fans sitting courtside, balls going into that area. And Jokic is such a throwback not necessarily, street baller, backyard mm-hmm. ball. You know, he's that guy. And when he sees a ball dribble out of play, his instinct is to go get it. And you can't fault him for that, because that is pure. Like, that's a guy who just wants to play, wants to take advantage of a little benefit that he got with a Suns player flying into the stands. But unfortunately, it is a professional basketball environment, and you do have to account for those things. So I will concede that to you there.
All right, let's go to the actual series now, 2-2. I still think the Nuggets win this series. They're unbeatable at home right now. Now, if the Suns come in and beat them in game five, then they're setting us up for one of the biggest disappointments that we've seen sports-wise in this town in a while. But they're still great at home. I just don't see them losing this game. The bench sucked last night. The defense sucked last night. So they reverted to everything that they were doing bad during the regular season. But are they really going to have two guys scoring and nobody doing anything else? At home, this thing's going to change. Suns won at least one game because of their crowd.
Well, and you look at the line too, Nuggets -5, -195 on the money line. That's similar to that game three in Phoenix where it's like, huh, that's a little bigger than you'd have thought. And so especially the Nuggets coming off of two road losses. And the key really is Devin Booker. Oh my God. Yeah. Sometimes, and I know Jokic was great last night too, but in back-to-back games, I mean, what is his field goal percentage and the amount of shots he's put up too? This is insane. I mean, this is like Steph Curry in his prime, what Booker has done in these past two games. And I know Devin Booker's good, and that was almost like a, hey, you're not talking about me enough type performance from Devin Booker. I mean, that. Yeah. So look, the weirdness with Ishbia and all that, Devin Booker was just insane. It got to the point where he wasn't missing shots, and I'm just thinking, you can't lose if you're the Suns. And the Nuggets were playing solid defense on him, and he was still hitting these crazy shots.
Were they? They were so late on some of the rotations. He hit at least three wide open threes.
I thought the defense was solid. I mean, there comes a point where you're just going to miss some of those. And Booker wasn't missing any of those. So I almost just tipped my cap to that dude. And that's absolutely unreal what he was able to do. But they also, you know, then Booker picked up a foul early in the fourth and they put him on the bench. Then Landry Shamet decided to hit some clutch threes. But that was in Phoenix. And the Nuggets role players, man, they just did not hit shots in the second half. Michael Porter Jr. had a good first quarter. He played solid in his, you know, in the ancillary aspects of his game in the fourth, but his shot disappeared. Guys could not hit shots in the fourth. Now the Nuggets are back home. You got to think that on their home floor, because, you know, one of the things we've heard in this series is role players just shoot better at home. It proved true for both these teams in both their sets of home games. Now that this series shifts back to Denver, you got to think that this is where MPJ can hopefully get the shot going throughout the game. Jamal Murray needs to have more of that spice that he had earlier in the playoffs until just recently. You hope that gets going at home, that Aaron Gordon can get more points and hit some shots, even in the paint more at home. KCP, Bruce Brown. If Christian Brown could get going at all, that'd be great. He got the bench last night from Michael Malone. But you hope that on the home floor, the shots start falling for the Nuggets. And the line suggests they should win. So my optimism remains, but my concern is Devin Booker just seems to be on a mission right now.
It would be nice if Brown was out there and he could just shadow Booker for a little bit. But Michael Malone doesn't think so. I was going to talk abs with you, but we ran out of time, my friend. Plug everything you do and plug everything you're doing.
Just 10 seconds. The abs will be okay. Injuries in the Nichushkin situation, it was just, you can't overcome it. I'm on Twitter, at Mark A. Mark. Tonight we'll have a blitz on 92.5, myself and Mark Bertinoli from 6 to 7 p.m. And then we'll have a blitz tomorrow before Nuggets Suns Game 7. Not sure when that tip is. Various between the pipes specials talking abs possibly throughout the offseason. We'll let you know on social media.
Okay. That's terrific, man. I appreciate the time as always. Thank you very much, Mark Springer. Thanks to Melissa and Adam and Terry behind the scenes. And thanks to everybody checking out the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network.